Volkan, obviously not the result you expected tonight. How much did you learn from your first title fight after being in the UFC for less than a year?
Definitely, I learned a lot. This fight came really fast. I was really happy about it. It's only been a year I'm in the UFC, and I really wanted, you know, to prove everybody, you know, that I was able to. But Cormier was the better man tonight. Definitely, he's a great champ. I'm also happy that he was able to prove to himself and to everybody, you know, that he deserved his legacy. And I was just hoping I will be the man who can, you know, take it from him. But definitely, he's a great fighter. He capitalized on his wrestling, and I wasn't able to stand. So I learned a lot. Definitely, my game improved a lot. I felt strong in some different position, but definitely now I know also what I can do to improve, and I will improve back on Tuesday in the gym.
You and Daniel obviously had a lot to say to each other leading up to the fight. Things got a little heated at times. Did he say anything to you privately after the fight? Did you guys talk at all, either in the cage or after the fight ended?
Yeah, he just stopped. To talk to me a little bit, and we exchanged some words. He's a really cool guy, and definitely it's a lot of you know, hyped definitely before the fight. Just talks, you know, it was fun. Definitely, I enjoyed all the process. You know, I enjoyed I just love the fight game. You know, at the end of the day, it's something you start to really you feel a lot of, you know, a lot of love for this sport and all the different aspects. So there is the outside of the cage, the inside of the cage. All of that is a blessing, because all the fight week was amazing. I got all my friends coming here. I got all my team. You know, it was a good moment of I shared a lot of moments with a lot of people. So definitely it was some good time.
Well, 4 fights in a little less than a year in the UFC. I mean, that's a pretty quick pace for anybody. Do you feel like you take a break now, especially after a title fight, or do you want to just get back in there really quickly?
I'll get back to training really quick. So Monday I leave from Boston. I just got one day to visit the city a little bit. I didn't have time too much to do it. So I'll do it, you know. I'll put some sunglasses and, you know, enjoy the city. But but Tuesday I'll be back to training. You know, I just start working on some positioning, you know, like how to beat the shoulder from the single leg, how to stand back up and stuff like that, just after in the locker room. So Tuesday is going to be the same, but I'm going to go live and I'm going to work that even harder.
When I talked to DC earlier this week, I mentioned to him that, you know, your youth might be a big thing for the light heavyweight division. And even though he didn't plan on surrendering his belt to you tonight, he said that he thinks that you're one of the, you know, guys that's the future of this division. I wonder if you could maybe talk about the champ, you know, giving you that level of an accolade even before the fight.
I will be champion, that's for sure. I will be champion. It's just a matter of time. Definitely, tonight wasn't my night. Cormier is definitely one of the best light heavyweights that ever existed. He's ranked in the pound-for-pound division. So, you know, it's already a great honor for me to fight this guy so early in my career. But, you know, my career, I have so many more years in front of me, and I'm really gonna make the best out of it.
Hey, Volkan. On paper, I believe a lot of people would say that you have the better striking. He caught you with that looping left hook that kind of sent you squinting. Did his striking surprise you, considering that there's a huge height and reach difference?
No, definitely not, because that's his style. I don't think he has a bad striking at all. He has this dirty boxing style, and it's just sweet, his style. It's sweet, his body type. You know, he just boxes really good for his style of fighting. And definitely he's not going to be the glory champion, you know, facing a kickboxer in a kickboxing ring. But in MMA, he's able to stand with anybody. You know, it was a case in all this fight. He take people down, and at the end of the day, you know, he's like, he's just, you know, go forward and punch them, you know, and kick them. So I know he has a good boxing, but of course this is to capitalize on his wrestling. So I know he's also dangerous in a stand up.
Is the number one assignment when you get back to Florida is to just throw on the wrestling shoes and just wrestle for weeks and weeks and weeks?
It's going to definitely be a big part of my game, but I'm not going to forget my striking, my jiu-jitsu and everything. I think MMA is such a big sport. There is so many styles you have to learn, but you have to focus on where you're headed, where you're heading, and I think don't over or underestimate one other department.
Thank you.
Hey, Volkan. Was there any point in the first round? It seemed like you landed a couple of shots. Was there any point where you thought you had him?
Yeah, definitely. I thought if I will continue the same pace and the same style I was going, it's the knockout will come definitely. So you know, I liked my first first minutes in the octagon. I felt really good. I've wanted to throw some kicks also, but then I figured out, you know, it wasn't really in a game plan, so let's not do it. So yeah, you know, I felt good. You know, I haven't watched the fight yet, so I cannot really tell you how it was for real. But I definitely think I was able to knock him out.
And just curious, how close was that rear naked choke at the end of the first?
I heard the clap, the 10 second left. So there is this movement. I've been training a lot with my coach, and I was like, fuck it, you know, let's do it, because I was worst case, you know, it's the round is over. So. And I knew it. If I will land that movement on him, I will just use it later in the round. Anyway, the round will stop, and I'm not gonna get in trouble. So, basically, I did it. Didn't work. He's a better wrestler than me, definitely. So he got the choke, and I just let it go because I knew the round was about to stop.
Volkan, you had some success in the very beginning of the fight, fending off his takedowns. He was trying to shoot under your punches immediately. You stopped what, 4 or 5 of them. What changed between what allowed you to stop those takedowns in the beginning of the fight and then him having more success further into the round?
I think I surprised also because I surprised myself because I know I have a good position in a close range like that. So I felt good. I felt really good upper body work, you know, like Greco and stuff. I worked a lot on that. So definitely it was a good momentum for me, but then I got caught on the floor once and maybe a second time, and then I got stuck. So you know, I don't really know, but I surprised myself. I thought I realized that I really progressed in my wrestling. I took definitely a lot of commitment into my wrestling training and improving on my defense and my offense and everything. So I'm also happy with what I did during that fight.
And when he got the cross sides, the mount at the end, and tied up your arms, we see so many fighters really get stuck in that position, and the punches are short, but there's nowhere to go. Can you talk about what it's like to be in that predicament where you can't find a way out and these short punches are just kind of ticking away the fight?
I mean, it's fighting, so, you know, yeah, you gotta go or you're gonna get, you know, knocked out. So basically, you just have to move. You have to, you know, get away from that position, you know. But then I got stuck, and I was able to keep going, you know. Definitely, you know, I mark really easily on my face. I get red super easily, but wasn't really rocked. But definitely, I will take a lot of damage. So the referee stopped the fight.
What's up, Cal? What's up?
Hey, brother. Two quick questions for you. You and I spoke at Media Day talking about you wanted to speak to the Garden after the fight, get your hand raised, and I can easily say you're the most popular fighter from the area. What did this moment feel to you, culminating your entire career in Combat Zone and your family and everything you've done with your life to get your hand raised at the Garden in a UFCW?
Like I said, I envisioned this since the moment I started my career, day one. And it was better than I could have ever expected. It felt amazing. That Boston crowd, there's nothing like it. You guys were all in the building. You heard it. It was amazing.
And just a follow-up question. How good did it feel to see, you know, Rob and Kyle do their thing, and then you come up and do your thing, too?
It felt better than my knockout. I was laughing a little bit because I was really happy to see them go out do work, and then I was the last fight, so I felt a little added pressure, like, all right, we got to bring this thing home, 3-0. And I was just happy to go out, get the job done, and after, I was just really happy for my teammates. I know how hard they worked. We put in a 10-week camp, and we were all pushing each other leading into this fight, and it was really good to see hard work pay off tonight for New England MMA. It's a great night for New England MMA.
Congratulations. Great job.
Thanks, Matt.
Calvin over here. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You were talking about this being a dream come true. Did it live up to the expectations? Did it exceed it?
Exceeded, man. It was better than I could have ever imagined. I definitely visualized it all camp, but all my career, it was pretty special. Last week, me and Rob Font went to go see a Celtics game, and we're just like, wow, man, it's going to be crazy next week being in the Garden, walking out, just visualizing everything. And to see it come to fruition and the way it did in spectacular fashion for both of us, it was very very exciting, man.
There were two very interesting rounds, and just jumping on Twitter and seeing how fans are reacting to it. Some scored round one for you, some scored for him, and same thing in the second round. What was your team telling you heading into the third round?
They were talking some shit in the second, but I think I took the first. I felt good in the first. Props to him. He came out strong in the second, I thought. I give him the second round. He was taking some shots. He was coming in, touching the body nicely. He fought really well. He's a tough competitor, and I was excited to see him come out and kind of get the crowd going in the third. I like that. I respected that. In that moment, I'm like, all right, we're in for a fight, you know? So I had a lot of respect for him and his camp. He's a tough kid. I know he's going to bounce back strong, but... Third round, I came out. Second round, my coaches said, listen, you got to get aggressive. You got to make this a fight. And just bit down that mouth guard and put in a good combo together, put something behind my single jab and landed, followed up with an uppercut. And before I knew it, I was getting, I was on top of the cage.
You said that you watched him fight Rosa because he was a fellow Boston guy.
Yes.
And heading into the fight, you started watching a little more footage and trying to learn a little bit more about Shane's tendencies heading into the fight. So, what did you see to make you believe and realize your team as well that the jab is going to be such an important tool tonight because you really were landing that over and over again?
Yeah, honestly, leading into this fight, we paid attention a little bit to this film. We had game plan for sure, definitely. A lot of strategy, but it always revolves around me becoming a better martial artist every time. I look to improve my weaknesses, tighten up all my weaknesses and exceed my strengths and try to find where my strengths line up with his weaknesses the best. It really didn't go as planned. To be honest, I would have liked to have been a little bit more well-rounded, but my shots were landing a little bit in the first, so I stayed with that, stuck with that. Second round, he started, having his way a little bit, so I figured I got to get a little creative in the third. But before I could, I landed a heavy shot and followed it up, and before I knew it, they were pulling me off.
Calvin, right here. You talked about your game plan and everything, but did anything he do specifically catch you off guard that you weren't game planning for?
Nothing crazy. I knew he was going to be a tough kid. I knew he was going to be a tough kid. I knew he was going to bring a good stand-up. But his I think, I don't know whether it was I saw a shot, I don't know if it was I shot a sloppy shot or he had just good defense, but I was a little upset I didn't get that first takedown. I wanted it at that point. And, like I said, props to him, he's a tough kid. But, no, I knew he was going to bring a tough fight. And I felt like that fight lived up to the expectation. We were right before the title fights, people were talking a lot on, I think, a lot about how the card was a little lackluster. And I think we brought an exciting action-packed fight tonight here in Boston.
Is there any name you want to, not call out? Was there any name you had in mind for your next fight?
Man, I bring that Patriots mindset every time. I was focused on Shane Burgos this whole time. I didn't look past him. I had a lot of respect for him. He's been unbeaten his whole career, so nobody's been able to do what I did. I'm just happy I was able to go out and get the job done. And now I'll talk to my team, my coaches, and see who's next.
Hey, Calvin, over here to your left.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing? I heard there was supporters of yours out there in the arena. I don't know if they were friends, family, or just fans. And they were wearing Hulk Hogan and yellow font T-shirts with Qatar Mania.
Yes, sir.
Is that something about that?
Brought it back old school. I fought on September 11th a few years back. And we brought it back out to Qatar Mania, came out to I'm a Real American, figured it was good for, the night. And we were going to make some cool Skyline of the City T-shirts, and they were like, let's bring it back. Let's go old school to Qatar Mania, bright neon yellow, show who we have in the crowd tonight. And so it was a last-second switch-up. We did it, and, yeah, I think that shirt is like 3-0 now, so we might have to run it back for the fourth.
You a big pro wrestling fan?
No, I mean, growing up, that's the thing. I was growing up on wrestling. These kids these days are growing up on the UFC. It's another level.
Hey, Calvin, one question.
Yes, sir.
Do the Pats win, and what's the final?
Honestly, the Pats win, of course, but I'm just happy to be able to eat a whole bunch of wings this time around. I said I would never take a fight in January knowing I'd miss the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, unless it was a big opportunity. And sure enough, UFC Boston came around. I was happy to sign that contract. But now I'll be excited to eat some wings and watch the game. But TB12 for sure, taking it all the way.
Good.
Thanks, guys.
So, guys, how you guys doing? Good. First question.
Congratulations, DC. Told you the Garden was a special place. Did you feel that tonight?
Felt good, you know? A lot of cheers. A lot of people supporting me. It was very nice. Yeah. You walk into the Garden and you feel the championship history of the building, and I enjoyed performing here. I loved it.
You had talked about how important this fight was for you to feel like you were the champion. You went out and had a dominant performance. You know, how does it feel coming out afterwards? Do you feel a lot better than you did coming in?
Of course I do. You know, I had lost last time. You know, so now I can actually say I won a fight. You know, I won my last fight, which obviously feels better. And then to experience that again, you know, Dana putting the belt on you and, you know, going out there and just having a performance that you dream of. You dream of doing everything you did in training camp, and it works to a T. And today it did. You know, I felt like I may have had that submission at the end of the first round, but ran out of time and was able to get him back down and get right to the crucifix position and just start to punch and not get too excited to where he got out, but also just hold him there and really just beat on him until the referee had no choice but to stop the fight.
And last thing from me, you had talked about, you know, it's going to be Volkan's time, just not right now. And he came in here and talked about how much he learned from being in the octagon with you, but then he said, I will be a champion. Do you believe him when he says that?
You know, we talked in the back, and I told him, I said, you know, man, great job. You know, you fought hard. He threw everything with so much power and with so much intent to finish the fight. And I could feel his confidence. You know, I could feel his confidence. And if he's able to fight in that way but shore up the holes that he has, yeah, of course he can become a champion. He's one of the younger guys in the division. I'm 38 years old, and I've said time and time again that by 40 I'll be done. So, you know, even if I was here for another year, I'm sure Volkan, it didn't take him long to get here in the first place. So I'm sure he can build himself back up to get to a title fight.
Hey, Daniel, were you surprised at all by the support out here from fans out here at the Garden when you came out? And especially after that first takedown, did any of that surprise you?
It didn't surprise me, because I've seen like a little bit of a shift since the last fight in terms of the level of acceptance that I've gotten from the fans. Because although you'll have a whole bunch of some people sprinkled in there that still say stuff, you know, negative and kind of look past the fact that I may not have gotten a fair shake on a number of occasions, but the vast majority of people are just kind of like, man, this dude has some rough luck, you know, just as he seems to have gotten past this black cloud in his career, you know, that happened. So I think at his core, people are still good, you know, and they kind of, I think they may sympathize with me a little bit. And I think that's why you got the cheers and the crowd kind of being as loud as they were. And I really did enjoy it and appreciate it.
Hey, champ. Hey, congratulations. Very impressive performance.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. So you had a pretty awesome couple of words to say about fatherhood at Media Day. And I noticed after the fight, you had posted a really nice picture on Instagram with you and your family. Obviously, better to get your belt, get a win, but win or lose, can you just talk about how special it is to share these types of moments with your family?
Well, you say win or lose, but, like, this was the first time that my children have ever been to a fight. You know, my son and daughter have never watched me compete. My boy says he went when he was a baby, because we didn't, you know, back in Strike Force, we couldn't afford a nanny, so we couldn't have anybody watch the kids. So we brought him. And ever since, we've really kind of left him home because of what happened last fight. You know, for my son, who's 6 years old, to see that would devastate him. But I'm 38 years old, and I'm, you know, it's time for them to start understanding what dad does. And I brought him, and they loved it. And they loved every moment of it. And I was able to walk right out of the octagon and grab them and see my wife, Selena. And we get to go to the back and see my mom and my dad. And nothing's more precious to me than family. I mean, I love everything else. You know, I love, you know, championship belts and and everything else, but nothing's more important than family, because without them, I can't do any of this stuff. I had a team dinner last night, and there were 47 people from Louisiana and all around the country to come and watch me fight every single time. 47 people. In Anaheim, we had 75 people at my Friday night dinner, people from Louisiana and all around the country. So I appreciate these people because they uplift me, and they've been doing it since I was 15 years old when I first started wrestling at the highest level. They've been uplifting me and allowing me to be who I am today.
Thank you, champ.
DC, congrats, my man.
Thank you.
What next for you? I mean, is there a name out there? I know you obviously want to enjoy this for now, take some time perhaps, but who do you have your eyes on as a guy that will challenge you next?
I don't know. I mean, I really don't know, you know, and you know I'm not above calling somebody out. I've done that time and time again over the course of my career, but it's just like right now, it's like I've been through a lot, right? And after getting beat in that last fight and finished for the first time, I've learned to just kind of take it all as it is, like one at a time, let myself just enjoy the work, because every time I fought, every time I won, it was always get back home and just go like, let me get to the next guy. Let me get to the next guy. Right now, I just kind of want to go home, and I got a 7 o'clock flight tomorrow morning to get back to California, because I get home and I go to the back of my cul-de-sac and I can mow my grass or I can walk my dog, and nobody's like, they don't care. It's like, hey, DC, good job. Daniel, not even DC. Hey, Daniel, good job last night. And all my neighbors go about their business. And I like that. You know, I like kind of just being normal a little bit. I love to fight. I love the adrenaline. I love the crowd. I love the everything. But I'm going to enjoy this next month where I have nothing on the schedule to spend with my family.
One of the reasons I ask is I'm not a guy who likes to stir the dookie, so to speak. But your boss, Dana, apparently said on FS1 on the post-fight show that a fight that he would like to see is you against Stipe Miocic.
Yeah.
Is that anywhere within the realm of possibility for you? Because I know we asked you earlier this week about would you ever go back up to heavyweight?
People have talked about that for a really long time, you know, and I mean, I did fight 13 fights at heavyweight, you know, so, and I hate cutting weight, as you guys all know. I mean, I'm the only guy that gets a rousing ovation every time he steps on the scale and makes weight. Like, guys, he's supposed to make weight. What are you cheering for? But I haven't really thought about it, you know, especially it's hard for me now because Kane's in the gym more. Kane's in the gym now getting back prepared to do what he does best. So I draw so much from him, right? Kane had a baby about a month ago, and he's here with me right now. I didn't even know. I didn't bother to ask him if he was coming to the fight because I didn't know if it was possible because of the new baby. But Wednesday afternoon, Kane comes in my room with his bags, and he's there for my weight cut. Dude's never saw it in his life. He was shriveling up like a grape. He looked like one of the California raisins by the time we were done with that sauna. But he's there, and I draw inspiration from him. And if he's getting prepared to get that belt back, then that is that. I have nothing for that division.
Gotcha.
It'll never change.
DC, how you doing? Hey, congrats. You were talking about with Stipe and that kind of talk. And you and Stipe both won. You know, the fans come here and they want to see the knockout. And you guys won your fights on the ground with your wrestling experience. And you know, when you can do that to your opponent, do you think that just sucks the energy out of your opponent?
It does. It's discouraging, right? It's very discouraging to have a guy able to hold you down and do whatever, you know, we did to those guys. You know, at the end of the second and third round, Stipe was literally just holding Francis's head down. People don't understand how exhausting it is to try to build your body back up when a 245-pound man is just pressing your head down. The ability to impose yourself on someone is the greatest aspect of wrestling that a lot of people don't understand that's never done it. So, I mean, I could have stood there with Volkan and fought him. I heard him a couple times in the stand-up. But the path to victory should always be chased in the easiest way. And the easiest way for me, especially after the first round, because when I took him down at the end of the first round and was able to get that choke so easy, I was like, oh, man, this is a huge, huge difference in terms of our grappling skill. So I said, let's put him back there.
One more thing about Stipe, you know, just being the first heavyweight to win three straight title defenses. And, you know, just your thoughts about that.
It's very impressive. You know, I said this in the build-up. I go, Francis is a great guy and a great, fantastic fighter. But what's getting lost in this whole deal was that you're talking about a guy in Stipe Miocic that's going to break a record and become the greatest heavyweight champion of all time. And it's very impressive because you got guys like Randy Couture and Cain Velasquez and Fabricio Werdum and Junior Dos Santos that couldn't get three done. You know, that's crazy that these guys have never done three because that division is so dangerous. So for Stipe to do it tonight against the most dangerous opponent that he's had, very impressive. Hats off to him. He's a great guy, great champion. I had a great time with him in Cleveland, learned a lot about him, and nobody deserves it more than Stipe Miocic.
Would you put him number one all time? You said that kind of impressive.
Heavyweight?
Yes.
It's him and Cain. Everybody else is everybody else is kind of just like they're there. But Cain Velasquez and Stipe Miocic are the two best heavyweights of all time. And today this fight was built as the biggest heavyweight fight we've had in a long time. The biggest heavyweight fight that we'll ever have is when those two guys actually fight each other.
So you would still put him 1A, 1B? Could you put him 1 or 2 with somebody?
I'm never going to say he's better than Cain Velasquez. What are you doing? But he's good. He's just as good. Okay. Those guys are even. Yeah, just as good.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
It's going to be a great fight.
Hey, Daniel. In the post-fight interview with Joe Rogan, you put over Khabib, you put over Cain. Where was the love for your boy Luke?
I don't know. I was just, you know, the guys were here. The guys were here. That's why I talked about them. You know, I understand that Luke is in the middle of training camp right now, so he can't be here. But I saw Khabib and hugged him right as I left to go to the Octagon. I saw Cain and hugged him right at the tunnel before I went to the Octagon. So their names popped in my mind. But good try. Luke's my boy. It ain't gonna happen. Luke's my boy. Yeah, he texted me. He texted me right before the fight and said, "I love you, brother. Go and do your thing because there's no one like you." So there really is no dissension between us and Luke Rockhold. Luke Rockhold's one of us for the rest of his life. We love him. And as I've said time and time again, you guys don't know what Luke's going through personally in the Bay Area. Very courageous of him to make the move down to Florida because it's hard to leave your comfort zone. It's very hard to leave your comfort zone. And he did that. And I believe that he's going to be better for it. And we're going to be there to support him as much as we can.
And for the record, I wasn't trying to set you up. Just want to know.
Yeah, you were.
Just want to give you a platform to give him a shout out. You know, maybe you've forgotten in the Octagon. And just one more question for you. Obviously, John Jones is going to have this hearing next month. Have you got a message for him?
Nah, I'm just kind of, I want to see what happens. You know, I think not only am I'm just past it right now. Until he's able to do what we want to do, and that's fight, kind of past it. You know, so I'm kind of in this spot when it comes to Jones. Competitively, all I want to do is fight him again. But at some point, it's just like, man, is it ever going to be just a fight without nothing else? And I don't know if I could put myself through that again, you know? I mean, I've done everything right, and I've just been dragged down by this guy constantly. So I'm not thinking about it. I'm going to do my thing for right now.
Hey, DC. Congrats on the win, man.
Thank you.
Where do you find the confidence to stand with these? And no disrespect, but you're a little shorter than these guys that you're striking with. Where do you find the confidence to stand with the Volkan and with the Jones?
I mean, it's part of fighting, right? Every fight starts on the feet. I mean, I would love to start in the down position. That would be great for me. Can we start in the grappling? I'd love to start grappling, but that's not how it works. And you know what the truth is, man, honestly? I feel like I have the greatest coaches in the world. Javier Mendez, Rosendo Sanchez, Rudy Cruz. Those guys in stand-up, I mean, nobody's like them. Hobbs a world champion kickboxer. Rosendo was an Olympic alternate. Rudy's a professional boxer. I mean, and then I got these training partners in Tony Johnson and Tiago Beowulf and Frank Munoz. Like, we got these guys that are just high-level guys that train with me every day, and I take confidence from them. But my coaches, I got two coaches that drive 5 hours each day to train me 3 times a week. Rosendo drives 2.5 hours each way to train me Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Rudy does it from Fresno on Monday and Tuesday. It's like these guys are making sacrifices. I can call Hav anytime. He's got bad elbows at times because we kick him so hard. He has to hold pads for me, Khabib, Luke, and Kane back-to-back. But if we call him, he shows up, he holds the pads, and he tries to prepare. So I've got great coaches and a great team. We're the American Kickboxing Academy. You better learn the striking there, even though I'd prefer to wrestle.
Thank you. Hey, Daniel, how's your right hand?
My hand is messed up. I broke my thumb in high school, and it's knotted up right here behind the thumb again. So I'm going to have to go to a doctor on Monday to see what exactly is going on. But I've had enough of type of hand injuries to know that something's just not right.
And just one more. In July, obviously, it was emotional. You weren't up here. You've been up here before with the belt. You've done the post-fight press conference. Do you appreciate this a little more? After what happened a couple of months ago?
You know, I do. I've always appreciated it. I appreciate it every year, you know. Like when I was 30 and 31 years old, maybe not so much. But as I start to get closer and closer to the end, I do appreciate it. And I appreciate it from trying to build back from a loss and trying to feel like I had some success in the job that I do. You know, I love to fight. I love to compete. And I was able to get a win tonight. You know, that was last time I was in the hospital, right? When the press conference was going on, I was at the hospital. So if not for anything else, to be able to look at my mom and not see tears in her eyes and look at my wife and not see a look of confusion or wake up on Sunday morning and hear my son who came to the fight for the first time. You know, the whole Jones thing, it sucked. I lost the fight and I got beat. I got my ass kicked and cried in the octagon. I cried before I went to bed. But you know what I cried the most is when Sunday morning, I'm laying on the couch next, and my kids are in bed with their mom, and my boy rolls over and he taps his mom, because every time he'd never go to the fights, he wanted to know if his dad won. And you know what I heard at 7:30 in the morning in Anaheim? He tapped his mom and he goes, "Mom, did dad win?" And she said, "No, Pop, he didn't win this time." And I was laying there, I could hear him, so I got my back to him and I'm crying. And not long after, I feel like my boy behind me hugging me, you know. That was the hurtful thing. So for him to get to experience the other side of it is big for me. And my daughter and my family. It's all family to me. So I appreciate this. But I appreciate them being able to smile tonight instead of shedding tears. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Obviously, things didn't go the way you wanted them to tonight. I'm wondering what you take from a fight like this and a situation like this. What do you learn from this, and how do you sort of move forward after what went on for 25 minutes tonight?
I think tonight I learned that I never learned in this sport since 4 years. Underestimate my opponent, and I discovered some new part of this sport and that I ignored about it. And I learned a lot tonight.
Can you maybe comment on perhaps the weight cut? I mean, did it feel? I think people felt like maybe you came in heavier this week than they expected you to. Was that any issue for you leading into this fight?
No, because that wasn't an issue for me, because I think the last time was the same thing, and it's not like I cut away for 1 week or 2 weeks. It was just about one day, you know, 4 or 5 pounds total, so because I'm around 270 pounds. But that is not the problem. The problem is I underestimate my opponent, and I go too hard for the first round, and it was tougher than I thought, you know. So he resist, and he puts down in a best game plan than me.
Do you feel like you will get a chance to see him again down the road?
Yes, obviously. And, you know, I've been for this sport only 4 years. And I know that I'll keep learning and improving. And what happened tonight was my I think it was the last step for me to learn about this sport, because it's the only thing that I never faced in this sport. You know, 5-round fight, learn, know how to deal with it. This was the first time, and I did a mistake, and that sure would not happen again.
Hey, Francis. Very impressive performance tonight, too. Anybody who knows your story understands that you never give up, you never quit, and I think you showed a tremendous amount of heart tonight. Can you just talk about what it means to you to display your heart and your courage in the cage against a, you know, very formidable champion?
You know, I came here today to win the fight. I just discovered some new part that I was ignorant about, so I never thought about to kick, no, everything, but not that.
Great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Francis. What was your game plan coming into this fight tonight? And as well, you mentioned that you underestimated Stipe's toughness. Looking back, what would you have done differently as well?
I think if I look back, I will go slow for the two first round. Step back a little bit, save my energy, wash out, be cautious, and move it forward safely, slowly, you know. I go hard for the two first round. He was tough than I thought. I think that was the first fight. I thought he would go down for the two first round because I touched him and I thought that he would go down, but he didn't.
Lastly, what did you think of your takedown defense going through the fight from the first to the fifth round?
You know, he had a good game plan tonight. For the first, the very first round, he didn't try to take me down. He went as soon as I start get tired, and that was the moment for him to start to take me down, and that was some of my mistake.
Francis, normally between rounds, we see sort of fighters getting iced by their corner men, and it seemed like you were getting wrapped in towels. I'm just curious as to why you guys went with towels instead of ice, really.
Can you repeat it, please?
It seemed like between rounds, you were getting, your corner was putting towels over your body, and normally we see sort of corners put ice. Just why did you guys go with towels?
I don't know. We don't pay too much attention of that. You know, I think towel was enough. That wasn't a problem. You know, that is just some small detail who doesn't count at all.
Francis, do you remember a particular point in the fight? Over here, Francis. Over here. Hi. Do you remember a particular point in the fight where you felt like you couldn't come back?
He was tough, basically, after the second round. But, you know, even in my mind, I didn't give up. I keep believing, I keep trust, and give all, you know. I might lose this fight, but I give it all. That is the most important thing to me, to give it all, you know. Unfortunately, I didn't have the income that I would like to, but I give it all.
Can you describe what your body felt like in the fourth and fifth rounds?
You know, exhausted, tired, but doesn't matter. I was tired after three rounds, you know, but mentally I was there, and I give it all.
Last one from me. Do you feel like you had knockout power until the end of the fight, or did you feel at a certain point?
Yes. Even at the last round, I keep believing that I can knock it out. But you know, my body doesn't follow my thought. I was a little bit tired and slow, you know, but I knew that I still have those power to knock out. But as I said before, knockout power never is not enough. You know, you need to keep with speed, with others in around to be well-rounded.
Stipe, both of you guys hit each other with some tough shots. Did he put you in trouble at any time?
No, with punch. I mean, he hit me, but I don't think he has a knockout power. He just have a real good game plan and know how to deal with a fight.
After this, what's next for Francis? After this fight, what is next for you? What do you think you're going to do now?
I'm going to do the same thing. Keep improving. Come back stronger than I was. Because I think what I learned tonight was the last piece of my game. Was the thing that missed to my game since the beginning. It was the part that I never had the opportunity to learn. So I'm going to come back and really, really stronger.
Is there an opponent that you're looking at to get back on top and get another opportunity?
Anyone. I don't have choice for opening. Anyone. I can take take Stipe again. I can take anyone in the division. I think I just have to be me and my staff work about my game plan and you know, with what I learned today, you probably help me and make it easy for me for the next fight. Doesn't matter who is the opponent.
Hey, Francis, over here. This is the first time that you've headlined a pay-per-view, fought for the heavyweight championship. It didn't go your way tonight, but are there any positives that you've been able to take away from this whole experience? What are the positives that you've taken away from this whole experience, the title fight, headlining a pay-per-view?
You know, the positive should be the belt. But unfortunately, I didn't have it. But the positive, the other, if I want to stay positive, I just say I learned more than I did in the last four years.
And moving forward, do you think you'll still continue to train out of the Performance Institute, or will you perhaps go to the MMA Factory in Paris? What do you think about that?
I think my training, was good. It's not about training. I'm not just gonna put anything on course because of one fight. This was a mistake. I think if the first two rounds, I know how to manage the fight, I'll take it easy. I just think that I'm going to knock it out and I go push myself too hard. That I think that is the real mistake that I did tonight and will cost me the victory.
And final question for me. Now that Stipe Miocic has broken the title defense record in the heavyweight division here in the UFC, there are some people online that are calling him the greatest heavyweight of all time. Would you agree with that?
He proved it. I mean, I can't say no. He's the first one to the first heavyweight to defend three times his title. But you know, any record can be broken, and I'm not done yet. I think I'm just starting.
Hey, Francis, in the back here. Obviously disappointing tonight, but you were able to climb the heavyweight rankings pretty quick. Is the best of Francis Ngannou still to come?
Of course. I always know that. I have a lot to learn, and I still believe that I have a lot to learn. You know, in this sport, a lot of fighters been doing this for a while, and I just doing for 4 years. I don't think in 4 years you can learn what people did in maybe someone for 10, 15 years or for their entire life. you still have to improve WFO and work harder to follow them. And that is what I'm doing, because I know I was late.
Francis, right here. Stipe had you in the down position for a long time in the fight, long periods in the fight. Did that sap your energy? Did that take a lot of your energy, having him on top so long?
Yes, I think basically when I start the two first round too hard, I lose my energy by myself before I give him that opportunity, you know, to stay on top. I give him that opportunity to control the game down, because if I was in shape in the third round, he couldn't keep me down as long as he did. But, you know, thank you guys.
First question.
Right over here, Stipe. Congratulations on the win. Fantastic performance. Not many people have been able to take a Francis Ngannou punch and really talk about the tale later on that night. So what was it like? Did it live up to the hype that everybody was giving it?
Oh, it definitely. It's hard. I mean, there's no question. It's a heavy division. Do you want to get hit by him?
No, that's why I went.
Exactly. It sucked. I mean, look at my eye. One punch, you know. But it was my own fault. I put myself in the lane. But listen, I hit him a lot more than he hit me, and I still have the belt.
It was kind of a weird situation. You're the champion. You defended the title twice, yet you were the underdog. It was the Francis Ngannou show, it seemed like, in a lot of people's eyes. You know, now that you won the title or retained the title, had the performance you had tonight, dominated Francis Ngannou tonight, you're about to become a dad. I mean, what is that all like? I mean, it's got to feel incredible right now, right?
It was a Stipe show tonight. It wasn't about him. It was about me. Because I'm the champ. I broke the record. I'm the best.
You seem a little fired up. One thing that a lot of people noticed was that you took the title from Dana and you handed it to the coach and had him wrap it around your waist. Can you explain the thought process there?
My dude. That dude respects me. I respect him. End of story.
Hey, champ, congratulations on the performance. You've spoken several times in the past and recently in Media Day about enjoying the simplicity of your life and going back to your home and to your lawn. And as the gentleman said, you're going to be a dad soon. Can you just talk about, obviously, it's an exciting moment in your life, but the fact that you're going to become a dad and going back just to your life after this.
Oh, yeah. I hope it snowed a lot. Let me use that snow plow. I'm so pumped. I was been thinking about it all week. I was really pissed last time I did it because my feeling got jammed in the chute. I kept shooting everywhere. But, you know, other than that, and I got a bunch of my buddies coming over next couple of weeks, start moving stuff around and get the baby room set up, and, you know, and then gonna have cameras everywhere because I'm a psycho. So no one touches my daughter and comes in, tries to rob my house, you know. And even though I'm the baddest man on the planet, you know, I'm a weirdo. So.
Great job tonight. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
Stipe. Yeah. Right here. Okay. We'll talk sometime about what happens when you run over the Sunday newspaper with the snowblower, because that's not fun.
Oh.
You'll do it eventually.
Well, I don't get the paper.
Oh.
I go online. Geez. I'm joking. Sorry.
Hey, was the game plan, did you feel like the game plan going into this was that, you know what, I'm going to push him against the fence and I'm going to take him down as often as I need to? Was that?
Yeah, 100%. You know, he's never been there. Why not, right? I mean, I felt like I struck him. You know what I mean? He caught me in the first round a couple of times, but after that, you know, I could see I took the will out of him, and that's what I do. You know, I will take the will out of you.
I feel like a lot of people thought, you know what, the way we've seen this guy hit, he could hit anything and put the lights out. But we know you could put people's lights out, too. But did you feel like, as long as you got past the first round, that this thing for sure was yours for the taking?
Listen, man, I got the fighting spirit, bro. It's going to take a lot more to take me out. Ford Escort, Ford F-150, I don't really care. I'm going to keep coming. All right, I mean, he's a tough dude. There's no question. He's got a great, great career out of him. He's a tough dude. But listen, man, I got that fighting spirit. I ain't going to stop. I'm the daily grind.
I know you want to enjoy this, obviously, and probably take a little bit of time off. But do you have anybody that's on your radar for what comes next?
Yeah, you know, when my daughter's born, she's like 18, starts dating. I mean, every dude I should start talking to, I'm going to smash him. You ever watch Bad Boys? Bring all my boys over. It'll be a good time.
And I will ask you this, and as I asked DC earlier, I'm not trying to stir anything up. Dana did say on the post-fight show, you and DC is a fight that he would love to see. That may be the fan in him talking, but is that something you would ever entertain?
Listen, yeah, man. Like right now, dude, I don't care. Like I just got done with a fight like 45 minutes ago or an hour ago, whatever it was. 25 hard minutes with a tough dude. I don't really care what's going on right now. I just want to go home, see my dogs, hang out with my wife. She's put up with enough with me. You know, she's an amazing woman. I'm very lucky to have her. And I just want to go home, hang out with her, and just relax. And I'm not worried about that. Let me heal up. It sucks getting old, man. Thanks.
Hey, Stipe. How you doing?
Oh, Mark.
Congratulations.
Thanks, buddy.
You had downplayed for months and this week about the record. But now that you've done it, you've accomplished it, can you kind of reveal to us how much did it mean to you? Or were you sincere in that the record doesn't really mean that much to you?
Well, now it means something to me. You know, I beat the guy that I couldn't beat. So it made it that much sweeter. This guy's a phenom. He's one in a million, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? He lost. He lost to a Midwest boy that's 40 pounds lighter than him. And I'm the greatest heavyweight. I defended it 3 times. No one's ever done that.
Right. Did that kind of feel like going back to your high school days at East Lake North and Cleveland State today when you were a standout wrestler? I mean, it almost felt like a wrestling match for you out there today.
Yeah, I mean, his leg was there. I'm going to take him down. Hell yeah. He's a big dude. You want to get hit by him? I don't. I mean, look what happened to my eye. He got me a good shot. That sucked. But, you know, man, I'm going to go out there and just do what I do. And I saw his leg, take him down, and, you know, he didn't like it, and he couldn't get up. It was hard for him to get up, and I just wore him down, kept working, and that was the game plan. If I got him down, do it, you know.
Did you feel you were going to have it looked like you had a really enormous advantage when you were going for the single leg. Did you feel, like, in preparation that this was going to be a huge advantage for you?
No, because, you know, there were so many, like, unanswered questions about him. You know, he's a big, strong dude, man. You see what he does? I mean, he's still strong in the fourth round. Even though he's gassed out, he's still a strong boy, you know. And just got to go out there and keep working. And, you know, you never know what to expect, man. It's mixed martial arts, man. It's as real as it gets. You never know. You know, you could be winning the whole fight, and last minute, dude catch you with a flying hook, you're tired, boom, you're out. You just don't know.
He said that he felt he made a big mistake. He said he came at you too hard, too early, and by the third round, he was gassed. Did you sense that?
I felt that in the first round.
That you felt he was coming after you really hard?
Yeah. I feel like he couldn't put me right in that first round. I can see it. His will was dwindling away. It was a tough dude. There's no question. He's doing really good, but I felt his will dwindling away. You know, I could see in his face. He couldn't believe I was still there. He moved with everything that he had, you know, and definitely it hurt. There's no question, you know. And it's a big dude. I mean, what do you want me to do? I was, you know, it's like almost like that Rocky versus Drago, you know. He's just getting beat up in the first round, you know, a couple of rounds. But listen, man, he's tough, and, you know, and it wouldn't matter what he did. If he even stayed back, too, I still would have pushed the pace on him. I still would have got him tired.
By the way, congratulations. I didn't know you were having a baby girl. Congrats,
yes.
Right? Did you guys come up with the name yet or no?
Yeah, I think we're going to go with maybe Dylan, Marie, or Isabella.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, Stipe. Over here.
Oh.
Congrats.
What's up?
Third straight title defense, fourth title fight. But does this one feel a little sweeter considering everything that went into it?
Hell yeah, hell yeah. What do you think?
I think it does.
I think so too, man. It was, what the hell? I mean, everyone shit on me, dude. I was like, oh my God, you're getting knocked down the first round. Oh my God, he's unbelievable. Well, guess what? That's still mine. I ain't going nowhere.
Just want to go back to your previous answer about taking the belt and giving it to your coach. You said that guy respects me. So I'll ask you flat out, do you feel like Dana White doesn't respect you?
I don't know. I don't really care. Where's my coach at? Those dudes right there, my family. They all respect me. I respect them. They come with me. We go to war. No matter what happens, win, lose, or draw, that's my family. We all respect each other, no matter what the situation is.
At some point, whenever you're ready to come back, do you want to try to repair what kind of, like, you know, start to get promoted the way you think you should be promoted?
No, man, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. If it ain't fixed, don't broke it. Whatever. I'm tired right now. Sorry. Okay. It's like 3 in the morning. I just want to go home. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? I don't really care. Honestly, I got so much on the plate right now. I'm so happy. You know, my beautiful wife as a child, I'm very lucky. You know, I got my coaches here. Amazing. Listen, man, I'm not worried about repairing anything. I don't know. Like, apparently, I called him out when he told me. He said he was talking about we were butting heads. I called him out on that. That's pretty funny. He's like, what are you talking about? I don't know.
How'd that go?
He denied it.
Last thing, you said a couple times, you even tweeted. By the way, is that you tweeting? Because it was like right after the fight.
No.
You have another guy tweeting.
No, it's my gym.
Oh, it is. All right.
Yeah, come on, dude.
It's very well done.
Yeah, he's very smart.
So there's the quote, I'm the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
You've said it a couple times. You didn't want to say it before?
No, yeah.
Is it because you just wanted to wait till the fight was over? Like, you truly believe that you're the greatest of all time?
Fuck yeah, I do. No one's ever defended it three times. I've done it. I had the role, a killer's role of fighters to get to it. I had a hard path to get to the title. And I had a hard path to defend the title. I had top dudes, you know? I had to fight Arlovski. I had to fight Verdum in Brazil on 45,000 people. I mean, crazy. Next guy, Overeem, killer, K1 champ. Hits like a ton of bricks. Next guy, JDS, who I lost to. Now I got a guy that's a phenom. Nothing's ever easy. I know fighting ain't easy, but I never had an easy road. Everything was hard. That's why I love being from Cleveland, because nothing's easy. Nothing's ever given. It's earned.
Congrats.
Congrats on the win, right here. Thank you. Curious, you talked about your coach and that game plan. Francis even talked about how your game plan was just better than his. Can you kind of talk about what went into that? I mean, I know you have so much respect for your coaching staff, but it did seem like not only your heart and your intelligence in the ring, in the cage, but in terms of that game plan, that you guys were just a little better prepared.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much just me doing all the game planning. They just don't do what I want, and I'm feeling it. No, but yeah, the minute the fights gets, you know, and now they're right on it. They're calling me, all right, that's what we're going to do, and so for weeks, we go over. I don't even watch film yet. By 6-7 weeks, I'll just train. Go over with the army, go on, work on his weaknesses, work on his strengths. And then about 2 weeks out, we'll start watching film. And I see what I'm doing right, which actually it helps me a lot, actually. I can see what I'm doing, why I'm doing it.
Fair to say that you thought you had the better game plan as well?
Oh, 100%. I hope so. I'm a heavyweight champ.
And my last question, thank you again. Would you ever consider something later in 2018 with just such a big name, though he probably doesn't deserve a title match, with Brock Lesnar? So many eyeballs would be on that fight.
Yeah, man. Like, again, you guys don't ever stop with these. Can I just go home and relax a little bit? Like, god damn. I'll fight anyone, dude. I just want to go home and take it, like, just relax. Watch some football. Enjoy it. Drink a beer. Drink a Modelo. Call it a day. That's it. I'm sorry. I get like that.
Stipe,
one question. You said one. I'm joking. You guys mentioned one.
First of all, outside of Cleveland, we saw what an amazing reaction you had from the fans in Cleveland. But tonight, it was a very pro Stipe Miocic crowd in there. Could you hear them throughout the fight?
Oh, yeah. Boston's awesome, man. It's a funny city, dude. Love Boston. I finally got to hang out here and enjoy it. It's a great city. I got to, you know, train at Walter's gym with that amazing man right there. I mean, that boxing gym is phenomenal. His boy won tonight, too, which is amazing. He's just a good dude. And just meeting the people and the food. Oh, thank God I'm a heavyweight. Thank God I'm a heavyweight. Dude, I ate so much good food. But yeah, I love this city. It was a great city. Amazing.
And my final question, just going back to what I asked you earlier on in the week, would you like your next fight to be back in Cleveland?
I don't know. We'll figure it out, man. You know, right now, like I said, just want to go home, enjoy myself. I don't really give, I'm like an onion. You got to peel me back later at a time, bro. But I'm just going to go home, relax, and just enjoy myself, enjoy my wife, you know. She put up with me for a couple weeks, you know. I'm like a raging hormonal teenager during fight camp, so it's their time to shine.
Congratulations again.
Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Yankees say no more.